Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. There'll be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness nor pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Let's all stand. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and he leads me through that promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. Amen. But I'll be listening, amen. When the Savior calls. 152 here. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name, for my name. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening for my name. If my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening for my name, for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be right here listening for my name. I'll be right here in the Word. I'll be right here. I'll be right here listening for my name, for my name. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening for my name. Man, we'll change over the service this evening. Brother Wade comes. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. to see you. I want to see
to see you
high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
We love you tonight.
Holy, 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 you are holy, 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 holy. I want to see you.
Amen.
Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Middle of the week. Wonderful time to be alive. Man, all this beautiful liquid sunshine we've been getting. Man, it's kind of fitting we're going to talk about the river of life tonight. The river everywhere around here. Man, we'll be screaming for this in July. Maybe we can pack up enough. I was listening to the radio today, and they said Lake Lanier was 5 feet above pool. I don't think it's within a record of being full. So let's take that as a sign.
Amen.
That God will wash us by the water of the word.
Right.
And that we'll get full.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen.
And that we'll overflow. Because you know what? When a Christian overflows, we're going to find out tonight, when a Christian overflows, it doesn't just run out into the gutter. When a Christian overflows, it goes to another one.
Right.
Then it goes to another one. Rivers of living water. All right. If you got your Bibles, let's start again there with Psalms. This is Revival Part 9. I think this probably is going to be the last one on this one. I don't know what's coming up next, but we'll be at Brother Dutch's this weekend. So it'll give us another little while to think about what's going on. But just remember us, we'll be at Brother Dutch's Sunday. We're just going to leave Sunday morning, preach for him, turn around and come back. Then I'm going to leave Monday afternoon. Just pray for me. My buddy's going to Illinois to get some deer stands out of the woods and bring some stuff back. So we'll be back Wednesday. Should be back in time for service Wednesday night. Also remember March the 7th, youth Bible study. Start at 3:00. Brother Burley just called me a few minutes ago, and he's going to try to get a group together to come, which is good. And just remember us in your prayers. And we've got that thing getting it organized now, so we want to bring something to the youth. We want the youth to have a good time in the Lord. So it's never a wasted moment when it's with youth. Never waste a moment when you're talking about a young man or a young woman, a young Christian. Because my Lord, look outside. Look at they get no guidance out in the world. They get guidance all right, but it's pretty bad. It's not anything good. They have their programs and they have the things. That's okay. But to bring somebody, just to bring people under the shelter of the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost work in their life and then let them take it out. Brother Brown said one time, he said, take it to a dying world. Because that's what they're doing. They're just literally living. They're dead while they're alive. And we're trying to get as many people as we can, especially here in our church and around in different churches. We are trying to maybe give that last push for the youth to be able to rise up and show the world that God's still alive.
Glory.
He's not dead.
Right.
And the kids are not of the world.
Right.
They're in the world, but they don't have to be of the world.
Right.
Amen. Remember March the 20th through the 23rd. I'll be in Oklahoma at Brother Claude's. Also remember March the 10th, as far as we know, Brother Dale's going to have his shoulder operated on, so he'll be he'll be walking around with, I did it for about 6 weeks with one of them little black things, you know, are on your arm. So if he has that on, don't touch his shoulder. Don't try to shake his hand, left hand. He'll probably scream at you like I did to a guy. But just remember that. Keep him in your prayers. March 10th. And remember our June 18th through the 20th, our Father's Day trip. I think the sisters are working on them a trip. So just keep all that in your prayer. Just remember these things. Just keep praying that everything will be fine. Everything will work out. Everything will be good. And weather will be good. People will be, won't nobody be sick. And everybody will be fine. And everything will be good. So just pray that the Lord will protect us. You have not because you ask not. How simple is that? Psalms 138, verse 8. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come. Lord, sorry, but we were looking on the news and someone in Gainesville won a $5 million lottery and it's just all over everywhere. That means nothing to a Christian. To have eternal life, they ought to print in the paper that Brother Zach Black received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Worth more than any $5 million or $5 billion. The prophet said worlds. Worth more than worlds. Wow. Think about that. Thank you, Father, for bestowing that upon us. That sometimes that we do as human beings, we think, maybe I'd like to be famous or I'd like to, you know, be the guy that pitches the best or runs the best or has the best car, has the best. To be a Christian is the greatest thing. Amen. That you could ever give a human being, Lord, is your eternal life. Without money, the prophet said, and without price is that great eternal life that you give us. Now I pray, Lord, that you'll stimulate that eternal life. Amen. That you'll help that today to grow. And for us, as this revival is continuing on in our personal lives, Lord, I pray that that fountain will never run dry. Lord, that we'll drink from that everlasting fountain that, Lord, you've put in each one of our heart. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes. Be with the missionaries on the foreign fields. Give them fruit for their labor, Father. Be with the little bride around the world. Be with each one, Father. Bless us. Take care of us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalms 138, 8. I mean, why would you... You know, you get around people and they talk about their successes, and that's okay. It's okay to be successful. But you know, you're valued on what, you know, what you did in life. But if you're a Christian with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're greater than any king that ever set foot on the face of this earth. You're greater than any rock star, sports star, billionaire. You know what? Bill Gates is one of the richest men in the world. He draws more interest a day than most people make in a lifetime. But if he doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he's going to stand at that white throne of judgment and he's going to have to give an account. Not because of the money he made, but because of his life and not giving his life to Jesus Christ. But if you give your life to Christ tonight, $45 billion is not even going to buy it. If somebody were to offer you $10 billion for your eternal life, would you sell it? Oh, my. No. So that's why Brother Brown preached that sermon without money and without price. So it has no price on it except eternal life. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Psalms 85, 1. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You may be seated, and the Lord adds blessing to the reading of the word. And I told you last week I didn't know I was going to be speaking today, but I was sitting there thinking about where Brother Brown talks about the logs of this and the logs of that. I thought, well, where's that going? You know, and then, you know, Brother Dale asked me to speak and I said, well, if Luis will sing that song, "There's a River of Life." I'll know what to preach on. Well, you know what happened. He came up right here and just sang the song. So sang it first of the service, and then we sang it afterwards. So the Lord give us something tonight, then maybe you ought to listen.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to listen because this affects me too. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Can you say that? Is it clean water or dirty water? All right, so let's look at recognizing your day in this message. This is the one we should all have on our fridge. God created me a revival. Let me be the revival. Let each one of us be the revival in me. Make me, Lord, to hunger. Make me to thirst. Create in me, Lord, that what is needed in me. Let me from this hour on be thine. Now, this is a prophet in 1964 wanting more of God.
Right.
If a prophet wants more of God, what about you and I?
Amen.
Amen. Let me from this hour on be thine, more consecrated servant, a better servant, more blessed of you, more able, more humbler, more kinder, more willing to work, more looking to the things that are positive and forgetting the things that are in the past and the negatives. Let me press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I think that ought to be on everybody's refrigerator because it reminds me as I walk by, it reminds me that to stir up something in me.
Right.
Not my neighbor, not you, me.
Create
in me the revival. And then let it go out to other people. But we're talking today, I want you to keep in mind what we're talking about. We'll get to it in just a second. Water, because we're going to read where Brother Brown said, rains are revivals. Rains, water, and revival all has something to do with people. So the people is the key. Because it can rain on the just and the unjust. You can actually have a flood and die and drown. Or the very thing that saved Noah killed 7 billion people. Amen? Same water. As Brother Bram said when he stood out there on the Lake Sinclair and he walked out there and the water was just, there was a storm coming and the water was just churning and all the rocks and all the sticks and the trash was being pushed up on the shore. Brother Bram said, now that's a revival. He said, it's no more water. There's no more water in that lake than there were to begin with.
Right.
It's just God was stirring up the water to drive all the trash out. And we're going to talk a little bit about Sister Shepherd's dream when we get to it about the statue of a perfect man because that included water.
Right.
All right. And then we all know the favorite scripture. We're washed by the water of the word, Ephesians 5:26, that we are what? We are sanctified and cleansed. By the washing of water, by the word. So that all has a connection to the word. That's why we've been talking about a word revival. We give you all the characteristics the past couple of months of what this kind of revival is. Not a revival of a healing revival or a healing campaign or anything like that. This is a word revival. This is the word being restored back in power to the people. Because God cannot quicken non-word, or he can't, and even if it lays on these pages right here. He can't quicken that. It's got to be quickened here.
Glory.
You've got to take that in and then let it come out. All right? And I got a few quotes. I found one that man, if you'll just start looking quotes sometimes, just sit and look at quotes. Put in log. We've been talking about logs. I thought, well, Brother Brown probably only spoke about this one time. Sorry. He speaks about logs a lot. But let's get into that real quick. Let's read number 2. And just still get the characteristic before we get to the one we were talking about. Brother, I feel real good about it. What this church needs is a good revival, not a new doctrine. Now watch. Not a new doctrine or a new order, because we'll get to it in just a minute when Brother Brown talks about logs. Just a stirring up of what you already know about.
Amen.
Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for, as we give you several quotes in the Bible, that the Holy Ghost was given to stir up what you've already heard and to what? Teach you things to come. In other words, sit and listen. Listen to tapes. Listen to ministry. Listen to each other talk. That's what I like about the youth part is is we try to get the youth involved and let them ask questions, because there's not, the only dumb question is the one not asked.
Right.
I mean, it really is. The only dumb question, children, everybody, the only dumb question is a question you never ask. Because if you ponder it in your heart, listen, God give us the Holy Ghost, but He also gave us a fivefold ministry to bring that out and to answer questions. I'll read it here in just a second. All right, listen to this. Just a stirring up of what you already know about. Now let's go to a testimony on the sea, number three. Then we begin to find out miracles isn't taking place no more like they were. The sick go home sick. It wasn't because of God. Or it isn't because of God. It's because of the lack of the revival. You need a cough drop? You want some water? Okay, he's ready to go. All right. It's because of the lack of the revival among the people. There is no revival. They sit and listen, go home, say, well, I guess that was pretty good. Some of these people do better than some of y'all. At least they go to church and go home. Well, I guess that was pretty good, uh-huh. There's not that zeal. There's not that something in the people that should be there. I was telling the brothers at the Methodist breakfast, I said, look, I said, when you're watching a ball game, I said, ESPN makes money off of what? People making themselves idiots. Fans. Fan is short for fanatic. I mean, it's 20 below zero, Brother John, and here's, you know, if it's the Falcons, then F-A-L-C-O-N-S are written on that many drunk men that don't have a shirt on with the F on one and the A. What? They hone in on that because what? It excites you. It makes a fanatic out of you. And then I told him, I said, that's what I told each one. It was, you know, Daddy's brother was sitting there. I said, now when Marshall gets up and preaches, I said, are y'all fanatics? Or are you just sit there? ESPN will never make a dime off of this church. Just saying. There's not that something in the people that should be there. That's why this revival has to be a word revival. Amen. It's got to be a stirring up of the pure, unadulterated word. That's why denominations can't have this kind of revival. Because they don't have all the pure word of God. They have part of it. But they've got logs that are what? That are stopping up the river. I was going to bring the chart out here, but you can visualize in just a minute. A clean, flowing river. Where we go and trout fish. Well, Danny's not here tonight. Well, we go and trout fish. For those of you that's been, what do? They strap logs together to hold the water back so that you can have a fishing hole. Well, that's what man's done. But what have we done to the river of life? Now, the Bible tells us a little bit later that the river of life is flowing freely out from under the throne when we get over into the future home. Amen?
Right.
Well, it's not flowing freely now.
Right. No.
That's why this right here. There's not that zeal. There's not that something in the people that should be there.
Right.
The children of Israel, as I said before, real quick, the children of Israel, Joseph told them to come where he was.
Right.
He was saving the people, you know, because remember, all Israel didn't go. Some of the Jews stayed in their land. Some of them went over into Egypt. Well, the ones that went into Egypt, after a little while, they became not friends. They didn't become guests. They became slaves. Gradually, there was a Pharaoh that raised up that didn't know Joseph. And he said, oh, we got all these people that are not ours. We're not going to make our people work. We're going to make them work. So what happened was Egypt, they were fine in Egypt until the persecution began. Until Pharaoh said, okay, make more bricks. And they said, okay, make more bricks. And you can't use straw. Make it twice as hard. Then what did they do? God didn't send Moses until the people got to a place till they cried out to God. As I said Sunday about the right at the turn of the 19th, 20th century in there in the 1900s or 1800s, there was so much sickness. There was no, there was just, they were hit and miss with their pharmacies and all their apothecaries and their home remedies and all that stuff. But now you see we've got remedies for everything. CVS is full of remedies of this and that and the other. And you go to this doctor and he sends you to a specialist and he sends you to a specialist and then you go to a specialist. Well, they didn't have those back then. You know what they did? They got on their knees and said, God, my kid's got 104 fever. I need you now.
Right.
So God sent a healing campaign when the Christian people started crying out to God for something that they didn't have at that moment. Now look, they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what it did, it took God to stir that up that was already in there. Listen, when you become a Christian, you get everything you need. There's healing in the atonement. There's all these virtues. But what happens is, we're human beings. We have logs. We have things that clog up the river of life. I'll prove it to you in a second. But when Israel cried out, God promised in His Bible He'd raise up a standard when the enemy would come in like a flood. God would raise a standard up. What'd He do? He had a Moses ready, and Moses took the people out. Amen? Do we really believe in the promise? The promises of God. Joel 2:23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He hath given you the former rain moderately. Now remember, what is rain? Rain is revival. Rain is water. All right? Washing of the water by the word. And He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore or revive unto you what all these logs of ecclesiasticism and then and all them other isms. Anything, what? Satan is going to eat that tree down. God's not going to go backwards. But He allows Satan to do that. Why? Because God likes to bring things back up. Amen. He likes to bring things back up because He's a restorer. He's a what? He's a redeemer. Redeem means to bring back that which fell. Amen. So this tree, I will restore to you the years. And why is Joel bringing rains in? Because the rain had to come to restore the tree. You don't restore a tree in drought. You can't. It's physically or it's chemically. You can't do it. But God said, I'm going to send you something to build your tree with. I will restore to you the years that the locust eat, cankerworm, palm worm, caterpillar, my great army, which I send among you. Let's look at number 4. He's talking about that little stream bubbling up. It don't need no filter, no strainer, no pumping, no jerking, no nothing. It's just there bubbling up. It don't have to depend on local rains to fill it up. Rains are revivals where that fountain, that's at that fountain of life where the carcass or where the word is, the eagles will be gathered. You don't have to pump up a revival. You don't have to pump up nothing. Now look, you can live without food. But you can't live without water. You can live without food for months, but you can only last 8 or 10 days without water before you start your organs start shutting down. So water is very important. Same way with you and I. If we're to be washed by the water of the Word, we need a continual washing of water by the Word. We need a continual rain. The former rain has come. The rain has fell on this, what? On this Bible. To me, the message of the hour is the rain that we needed. But don't do away with it, because we need it more now to harvest what was planted years ago. Now we're harvesting that. Or God is, not we. I say we because we're bride. When I say we, I'm going to read you something here in just a minute where Brother Brown talks about a fivefold ministry and talks about the people. Because remember, in the Bible, in the book of Revelations, water is people. Remember in Revelations? I'll read it to you in just a second. So think about that. Keep it in your mind. It had to rain. The water had to come down to water what was in the ground. Sowing rain. Sowing it down. But now there will be a harvest of that rain. Amen? There has to be a harvest. But God's going to have to wait till the end time to separate the two. Talking about the two spirits Sunday in the framework of the church. All right. So we can't live without water. So we can't live without the Word of God. If you're a Christian, there's no way you can live without the Word of God. No way you can. You can't feed off of something else and be nourished if you're a Christian. Can't do that. Let's read getting in the spirit, number 5. This is where my thought comes for tonight. That's the way you get a revival. It's when you really get in the spirit of revival, not whooping it up or something, but by praying it down. Now, that's where the water comes. The water comes down. All right? Until there's a revival strikes your heart, until all the logs of ecclesiasticalism, and all the logs of fanaticism, and all the logs of systems, and all the logs of unbelief flows out. Then the waters of God comes falling down upon you. What? Rivers of living water, the Bible says. Not just a trickle. Not just a little sprinkle. It says rivers of living water flowing out. And look at the river. You go and you look at even in a drought. We'll look at it in a minute. But think about this. Even in a drought, the land around a river is always green. Every river has sustainable life. If that river's a flowing river, everything within probably 50 feet of that river, all the roots of those trees have run close to that water, and they're soaking it. Whether it rains or not, whether there's a drought or not, Brother Brown tells us, drought or no drought, if you're living by the river of water, you will stay green and you will grow. That's why we must stay in the Word of God. But if you'll picture with me just a second, the way we were looking at this, and we'll read the next quote. You got this river of living water. You got this river. You know, I was thinking today, I thought, well, you know, sometimes we have to dam these rivers up for flood control. Everybody understand that? We have watershed lakes close to our house where the water sheds off. And what happens is, though, but look, you say, well, that's because it floods out man. Well, then we must be the problem. We're the problem. We build the watershed lakes and we build the dams to keep the water back, to keep it from flowing. But what if we weren't here? What about before man was on the earth? Everything flooded natural? Because when you flood, it takes all that good soil and it distributes it everywhere. It takes all this vegetation, and if a seed over here, it takes that seed and it flows out into. We're our own problem.
Right.
We dam up these rivers,
right,
and it still floods. Look at it outside. But when we have rivers of living water, like I said before, I'll read it. The river of life, when you get in Revelation 22, that river of life flowing out from under the throne, it is not stopped up. It has nothing to stop it up, but you take and put a log or you take and put some big obstruction on that river, what does it do? Sometimes it makes it flow in another direction. You put enough logs in there. That was a friend of mine. It's kind of strange. Sunday, Mike Craven was at the breakfast we were at, and he's a neighbor across the road, and he's got a pond. And I asked him if me and Deanna could go over there and fish, you know, sometime. He said, sure. He said, but while you're over there, he said, knock those beaver dams down. He said, because they've dammed up the water, and it's not hardly flowing. It's flowing on the outside of the lake, not in the lake. They've diverted that thing out into a field where they built their little thing. Well, you know, I thought, well, Lord, poor old beaver just doing what the beaver's supposed to do.
Right.
We're the ones that's messing it up again.
Right.
He wants me to go down there and shoot the beavers. You know, get rid of the beavers. I told him, I said, no. I said, leave them alone. I thought, well, watch this right here. This is how I found this right here. Listen, getting in the spirit, 1961. Let's read this quote. Now, everybody familiar with Elisha when the Moabites were coming up to fight the children of Israel and there wasn't enough of them? The Moabites were a bunch and they were not very big. What did Elisha tell them to do? He said, thus saith the Lord, you'll win this battle. He said, but you got to do something. He said, you see that field out there? He said, you got to go out there and dig some ditches. Now, this is what Brother Brown's talking about when he's talking about this right here. He's talking about that scripture, but watch what he says. He said, they was out there one time perishing in the same way that you are. Now, there's channels out there. There's plenty of channels where that rock still lays in the wilderness yonder. But he said, you got to dig out a lot of stuff. Now think about this. To cause a word revival, you've got to dig out stuff out of your river.
Right?
Watch. That's division tonight, brother. It ain't start a new organization. Just dig out what's in it. That's right. The first thing, that old rotten log of organization, throw it out of the channel. The channels of God's blessing is all stopped up tonight. Who stopped it up? We did. Organizational logs laying in them. Then another log's laying out there called the no such thing as the Holy Ghost. If you dig down and strike that log, throw it out. There's no such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's just for the disciples only. Dig it out. The Holy Ghost was just for the apostles. Dr. Simon Peter said on the day of Pentecost, it's for you and your children and them that are far off, even me, the Lord thy God shall call. Great fine Pentecostal brother told me not long ago, we don't need any more divine healing. I didn't even let it be practiced in my church. He said, we got fine doctors and things today. Take the place of that. See what kind of old log gets in there? What does it do? It stops the flow of the water. Elisha's vision showed him that out there in that wilderness, right where the fruits are dried up, don't start a new organization, another rain or something. Just clean out the channels where the first rain can flow. We've got the first rain. We've got the word correct. We've got what we need. We just keep throwing logs in the water. Logs of whatever you want to call it. Because my log's different from yours. But I promise you, they're not toothpicks. They're logs. Some of them big redwood logs. Amen? Don't start a new organization, another rain or something. Just clean out the channels where the first rain can flow. The water's there. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that smitten rock was in the wilderness. And it's still here tonight, thank God. Jesus cleaned it out for them at Calvary. But they come right back around, throwed the logs back in again, and blocked it all off. That's what I said down through the church ages, even in the church ages. They started throwing logs back into the water. What? Eternal hell. Trinitarian doctrine. Baptize Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Sprinkle this, pour that. That's logs.
Right.
The water stayed there the whole time. It just didn't flow good. Listen. You know what it does to throw a log in a channel. What does it? Well, then all kinds of dirt hits against the log and washes up. First thing you know, you got all the water backed up like the beavers do and make a dam. Pay attention here. And you get nothing to go through it. That's right. We got too many beaver preachers today. I didn't say that. I did make the font bigger so you could see it. But we got too many beaver preachers today trying to dam all the water up and say, this is ours. This is just us here. This belongs to us. And what happens? It becomes stagnated. That's what's the matter with a lot of our organizations, trying to back up the water for your organization only. It's got stagnated.
Right.
Sister Shepherd's dream. What was the whole dream? Did she have the Holy Ghost? Well, not only God showed her she had the Holy Ghost, he showed her what she needed to do the rest of her life.
Right.
There was a man pouring pure water down into that pyramid, and what was coming out? Water was coming out, but trash was coming out with it. Logs. Trash was coming out. That's why when you get born again, well, you still got logs. It takes what? Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, the teaching of that to bring us to a place to where the river can flow again. Listen, we're not going to take a body change unless that river's running straight. With no logs. Jesus Christ was the fountain of living water. He had no logs. in his river. So if we have the same revelation, if we have the same ministry of Jesus Christ, we should have none. Listen to this. So you say, Brother Wade, how do we get the water flowing again? Well, let's turn to Revelation 22. Because Sister Shepherd's dream told us we had the water. Brother Brown's told us, you got the water. We just got to get the logs out of it.
Right.
And look, let's use the power of deductive reasoning. We have logs. But when we get over into the future home, there's a river of pure water flowing out from the throne with no logs. Something happened from here to here. And it was the plan of God. Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street and on either side of the river, there's a tree of life, which bears 12 manners of fruit and yields her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. All right, so let's go now to Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her. Must be talking about church. Must be talking about the bride, because it says her. And that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Don't care. We're living off the water. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Because see, in the year of drought, if you're under drought, everybody has to what? Ration water. That's what the problem now is. We're rationing water. All these different ideas of the church and all these different ideas even in the message. What we're doing, we're in a drought. We need a revival. We need a word revival. Water revival. Look, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Promise of God. She, if you got your roots planted by the river, you and I, her leaf shall always be green. Doesn't matter if the heat comes. Heat's going to come. We'll read that in just a minute where Brother Brown talks about the heat. He doesn't call it heat. He calls it het. Good old Southern Kentucky language. But I'm going to read you what he said. And he shall not be careful in the year of drought. What a wonderful thing that God's give us the river of life freely, if we'll take it, and don't worry about the drought. Don't worry about what's going on out there. He's come to you to give you the water. Because the Bible says, I'll read it in a minute, that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Next to a river, there's no drought. Like I said before, everything's green anywhere close to a river. Everything is green. Look at Psalms 1, verse 2. We always go to this one, but let's see how Brother Bradham explains this. Because remember, we got to get from having logged up, dammed up water to a free-flowing river. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right. How to get the logs out? Now watch. Psalms 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law, in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted. Now watch what it says. By the rivers of water. Rivers, plural, of water. Everybody got that? Say amen. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Same way in Jeremiah. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. What a promise. Whatever he says and does, it will prosper. Why? Because he's planted in the right place. He's got the river flowing right beside of him. Doesn't care if it rains up here anymore. You can have your revival. That's fine. You got to have it. But you got to be rooted and grounded next to the river to where what? Where's the life at? The life is in their roots. Then it comes out into the tree. All right. Now watch this right here. This may hurt your feelings a minute, but I'm going to tell you how to get the logs out. Brother Brown says, planting the vine and where to plant it. 1959. Now, are you planted by the rivers of water? What water? That smitten Christ that as out of the rock flowed waters to save a perishing people from death. Talking about the children in the wilderness. Everybody got that? Say amen. Christ was smitten and out of his body come forth the Holy Spirit that perishing people might not die but have eternal life. Are you? There's many different things God promises to heal. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we were healed. Rivers, watch this. Now, I want you to hurt your feelings, but this is how you're going to get it. Rivers, rivers of one water, the Holy Spirit. There are first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, rivers of one water. That's how you're going to get it. You're not going to get it any other way. There are diversities of gifts. Some are called to prophesy. Some are called to give the gift of healing. Some have the wisdom. Some have knowledge by the same Spirit. Some speak with tongues. That's getting the logs out, folks.
Right.
Some interpret all by the same Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. What is it? Rivers. Rivers of many waters, many water, many rivers of one water. The Holy Spirit giving many gifts and blessings from everywhere. He brings rich gifts to you. Gifts of healing, gifts of salvation, gifts of the Holy Spirit to work in your church. And among the people, rivers and joy like the river it brings. How beautiful.
Amen.
Amen? That's how we're getting to it. Now let's keep reading. Revelation 1 verse 15. Now I want you to see what position this is going to put us in. Okay? Watch. Because this is Revelation 1 15. If you've been following the Sunday school class, we've been reading this. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flames of fire. And his feet were like unto fine brass that's been burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters.
Right.
All right. Look, number 8, the seal of God. Now we know what this is though. When John turns to look, what does he see? He sees the Son of Man standing in the midst of the golden candlestick, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
That's God in bride form. All right. The seal of God. Now this great subject we had last night, the first night before last was the church and the church ages. How they were seeing Jesus standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks to look upon his jasper and sardius stone, the beginning and the ending, Reuben and Benjamin, see the seven candlesticks, or seven lampstands standing, and a rainbow over it as a covenant, as Brother Luis was bringing out the other day, and how he appeared. Now watch. And his voice, let's get it up here to the top where everybody can see it. And his voice was the voice of many waters. Watch. Both Christ and the church. Speaking together.
Right.
No fussing and fighting. The church and Christ speaking together with a golden girdle about the breast, part of the church covered over, holding the gospel, holding the righteousness of Christ over the church.
Right.
So where is this voice of many waters coming from? It's coming from the bride.
Glory.
Amen. That's how to get the logs out as we continue. Number 9, the Patmos vision. We'll be done early tonight. That's okay. The Patmos vision. Now let's see. We'll soon down to the end of the page. Hair like wool. Eyes were flames of fire. His feet like brass burned in the furnace. And his voice, the sound of many waters. Watch this. Voice of many waters. What does waters represent? If you want to mark it down, turn to Revelation 17, 15. You'll find the Bible says, the waters which thou sawest is thickness, multitudes, people, and tongues. You should know that.
Right.
Waters, people. All right, voice. What a horrible thing for a drifting soul on the sea of life. No pilot to guide him. That's what brought me to the realization that, listen, water will kill you. You can't breathe it. Even if you got a boat. What if you don't have a rudder?
Right.
You know, that's one of the most important things in a boat.
Right.
If you don't have a rudder, I don't care if you got a 50,000 horsepower engine. You're just going to go straight.
Right.
And you're going to what, Brother Larry? You're going to run. What, in them big old ships. Didn't matter them big old ships. They was as big as everything. But if that thing in the back is a rudder, that does this right here. And what that rudder does, it turns the ship. Don't matter if you got a 50,000 horsepower engine. All you're going to do is run it straight in the ground. I mean, run it straight into the side of the sea. But if you got that little old flap, that little rudder, what? You need a guide. You need somebody to steer your ship. You may think you're the only one in the ship and it's your ship. You need somebody to guide your ship. I'll clap myself. You need somebody, because you know what? You'll drift even on the very waters that can save you. So that's why you got to have all these pieces together. No pilot to guide him loose, floating with the tides to hear the roar of the great cataracts. You see, it's like the same thing. When you go, Josh has been to Niagara Falls, Dad and Mom's been, people been to Niagara Falls, okay? Water is the most powerful thing in the world almost. It can move. That's what made the Grand Canyon. It was just water. But if you take that boat, like Brother Brown said, you got to have a rudder because you can have a 50,000 horsepower engine. And if you're pointed at going over them falls, I don't care how much you do, reverse, forward, I don't care what you do. Unless you got something to turn that ship out of the way, you're going over the falls. That's why you need the Holy Ghost for your guide. To guide you into this water, river of living water. Watch, what a terrible thing. Hear the roar of the great cataracts, the falls. What a horrible thing it would be to a soul drifting. Voice of many waters. What is his voice? Watch this. It's the judgment. I don't want to hurt you. But all that false teaching about you not needing a pastor. Pits of hell, folks. The voice of the ministers. Through the Holy Spirit that's cried out to the people.
Right, amen.
What did we get back before? What's the many waters? Yeah. Many rivers of one water? Rivers? Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Yeah. The voice of what? The voice of many waters cries out thickness and multitudes. The voice of those seven stars in his hand to every church age.
Glory.
It's what I said before. I'll say it again. If Brother Branham wasn't number seven, we got to find number seven because there's seven stars. There's seven messengers in the Bible.
Amen and amen.
We don't have to look for him. We found him. And God's revealed it to us. That should be filed away. Don't have to use that one again. He was the church age messenger. But as I said before, every church age messenger died at the beginning of their church age. Columba died before his even started. Right. So who carried the message to the people?
Right.
Apostles, prophets, right. Pastors, teachers, and evangelists.
Right.
They carried it on. And this bride, being the final voice of the final age, will carry this thing on.
Right.
I'm not looking for nobody else to come.
Right.
We've had seven stars. We've had every church, we're in that last church age, folks. Preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we do. Baptism in Jesus' name, we do. Speaking in tongues, we do. I wish somebody would. The power of God, the resurrection of Christ, the second coming, divine judgment, the voice of many waters came forth from this one that looked like the Son of Man. Who was that? In bride form. I'm looking at her today. The voice of many waters. Everybody all right? Say amen. I wrote myself a note, big old note. Bride. Period. Bride. Listen to this. Almost finished. Man, 30 minutes. You better get a song, a couple of them. But I noticed then that God told Noah. Now watch this right here. This is pretty deep. Y'all know for a fact that gopher wood would not float. Everybody know that? Gopher wood cannot float as a boat. Proven fact. Gopher wood is porous. It would soak up the water and sink. But God didn't tell Noah just to get gopher wood. If you're reading your Bible, he told him to pitch it on the outside and pitch it on the inside. Sealed until the day of your redemption.
Glory.
We will not sink.
Right,
we can't sink. Right. We've been pitched on the inside, pitched on the outside. But I noticed God told Noah to pitch this ark. Put pitch in it on the inside and the outside, both sides. Well, then I seen what pitch was made of. It was a pine tree, a hard tree that was cut down, an evergreen tree. Ever alive tree. And it was cut down and they beat the tree with a beating iron. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, and every time you start praying.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Until they beat the rosin out of it.
Right.
And then they put the rosin in a pot and boiled it until it got real, real hot.
Right.
And this hot rosin was poured on this gopher wood and it opened, just soaked it in. I'll stop right there real quick. Being a beekeeper, if I was a really big beekeeper, the way they do it is they take this pot that's about this big and they take paraffin wax and beeswax and they boil it to come to a point of almost boiling. Then you take your bee boxes and you push them down in there. Man, what it does, it opens the pores of that wood, and as the pores open, the rosin goes down into those pores. I paint my bee boxes, they might last 3-5 years. You do that, they'll last 20 years. Cause it's what? It's pitched on the inside, outside, and all the way around. It totally, that what it does is, it soaks up that rosin. That's what we need to be. We need to come here every Sunday, ready to soak up the Word of God. And when it become full of this rosin, then once full of the rosin, God will only fill those who are not full of theirself. That's what Dwight Moody said. Once full of that rosin, it settled and set up. It was harder than steel. And I thought, that's it, Lord. Get a good open-hearted person and pour in the pitch, which was the Holy Ghost, into the believer with the Holy Ghost and fire until they're so soaked full they're not themselves anymore. Then she can blunt the waves. Bump against the logs. And knock them right out of the way. Keep on going. Amen. Keep on going. The only thing that can stand the judgments today is a born again Christian. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Here's the word now. Don't be careful. I've heard Granny say this. Have y'all heard? They don't say heat, they say het. God het the Spirit of God and poured it out upon them and soaked his whole being full. I like that, he said. God het the Spirit of God and poured it out on them and soaked his whole being full. That's what our problem is. We got to get this guy soaked. We got to get that Spirit soaked. The soul's already soaked. This is soaked as it's going to get. But we got to work on what? The statue of a perfect man. To where that water goes in and the trash goes out. He's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be. But one day we won't have to sing that song. One day, Brother Luis, those songs are finished. One day it's going to be over, folks. One day we're going to stand and we're going to stand and we're going to see that river. It's just as plain as day. We had a prophet of God preach the future home. Told us about that great river coming down out from under the throne, unimpeded. You know what? It's going to flow for an eternity.
Right.
For an eternity. Amen. You say, that's kind of hard to believe. Listen, where does the water we get come from?
Yeah.
Do y'all know exactly where it all starts? How many of y'all got wells? I don't use mine all the time, but we still have wells.
Right.
Where's that water come from? Yeah, it comes from up there, but it can still be in the drought and the water still be in the ground.
Right, amen.
God give us the water to sustain this whole world.
Right.
But what more he gave us? He gave us the washing of water by the pure word of God.
Praise.
So that we can not only make it across,
right,
I always wondered, Brother Donnie, why that, you know, they say they found the ark up there on Mount Ararat. You know, it said it's part of it's still there. That's why. It was so pitched with tar, it can't rot.
Right.
Brother Branham said it's as hard as steel. Now, how do you know that? We must believe a prophet.
Right.
That it was as hard as steel. And that's what he's trying to do to me and you. Seal us until the day of our redemption.
Right.
Seal us. And listen to this. Two more scriptures and we'll be done. Brother Boyd, get song ready, please. Revelation 7, verse 16. They shall hunger no more. This is the promise. Neither thirst no more, anymore. Neither shall the sun light on them for heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Glory.
Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Water will kill you, or water will move you, and water will take you somewhere if you got a guide, if you got the right rudder, if you got the right fivefold ministry. Because it, one more time, Ephesians 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word revival that we're under now, I believe. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot. Well, listen, when the water of God washes you, you know, we can go take a bath and tomorrow some of us need it again. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle.
Glory.
Or any such thing. He covers it all. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Just by the washing of water. What? Fivefold ministry. I just read you two quotes. It takes the ministry to get you to the right place. It takes the ministry. We've had a prophet come. Thank God for a prophet. And we listen to him all we can. But I'm telling you, it takes a live ministry. It said living water. It takes a ministry to bring us all. We're all part of it. Every one of us. Even though I may be part of the fivefold ministry, you know what? When I sit right there, I'm just like you. I was thinking this morning. We wonder why. Because some of the log problems that we have is we don't come to church all the time and we don't do this and we don't do that. You know, lambs, why should we come to church? Why? Well, of course the Bible tells us that not to forsake, not to assembling yourself together, all right? And such, and much more as the day approaches. But listen, lambs are herd animals. Sheep are herd animals. The only time that the wolf can kill a sheep is when he cuts them out of the herd. Amen? Watch all your documentaries, everything you want to watch about a lamb or anything. That's what we are, folks. We're lambs. Amen? We're sheep. And as long as we stay together and meet together, the wolf can't get us. But the problem is the first time you start having a problem and I start having a problem, we want to go somewhere else. We want to sit in a house and have our own pretty party, or we want to go sit somewhere and have our own pity party. That's just exactly what the devil wants you to do. God never told you to separate yourself except from the world. He said, bind yourself closer together so that the wolf, Brother Brown tells us on the word of the church, he said, bind yourself closer together. He said, don't let those things come in among you and separate you. I don't think they are here, but I'm telling you, the reason we harp is because the shepherd harps. The shepherd, when you start leaving the flock, the shepherd goes out there and gets you. And remember what happened in one of the stories. He broke one of them's leg to save their life, to keep them from, because you know what? He was like me. He was kind of hard-headed. He just kept going in another direction. God had to give me a little persecution, or give you a little persecution, or give the lamb a little persecution, broke the leg for your sake. For your sake. That's why Brother Dale has to stand up here, and a different minister has to stand up here and have to say things. That we, that as lambs, we're supposed to be close together. As sheep, Jesus tells us not to go astray, but to be washed by the water of the Word. Every time we mash play, every time you pray, yeah, I'll go ahead and clap your hands. I tell you, the more we pray, the more you feel clean. Have anybody ever felt dirty after you really just sit down, I mean, and prayed? No, I feel good. I feel clean. Right. Even though I'm maybe confessing some stupid thing I did. Yeah, Brother Bob, I do stupid things. I know you can't believe that much, but no, after I do some dumb stuff, what, don't, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. Man, that ought to make you feel, that's your, and it's not an out, but it's a way back to get back in the herd. I tell you, when I was out in the world for 20 years, some of you did the same thing. Go out in the world and do your thing. I had no protection. Oh, sure, God was watching over me. No problem with that, with my life, my inner life, you know, watching over me. But he let me do those things because you know what? I'm still a free moral agent. I can still choose to drown. Amen. I drowned for about 20 years. Till God finally said, I got a safe place for you, son. And the first thing I did was I started coming back to church. I started getting around believers. And when you get around believers, you start acting like believers. When you get around the world, you start acting like the world. Pretty simple. Get around believers. Because God told us, He promised us, He's going to take us from the logs that we have in our life, in our, in the river, even in the river of living water. There's logs that we put in there. But I just told you where Brother Brown said, if you get to a log, throw it out. Get to another log, throw it out. Let's don't dam up God's love for us. Let's let it free flow. There's a river of life. Come, let's sing that song just for a minute if you want to. Musicians, come on, y'all stand to your feet. And then we'll sing what Brother Boyd has. We'll sing, there's a river of life. Listen, you're going to know that the revival is taking hold in your life is when you start doing things that you didn't do.
Right.
I mean good things.
Right.
Right. That's the whole key.
Right.
Is when you in yourself, just as Zach Black did, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Okay? And I'm going to what? I'm going to give my life to God and start listening to what He said.
Right.
Now listen. That's too easy for some of us to do. That's just too easy. See, that's why you get the logs of this that tells you got to go do this and you got to go do penance and you got to go do this and you got to say Hail Marys. Take it to God. Take it to God. Listen, if you're born again tonight, you already have that river of life flowing in your soul.
Right.
Let's get the logs out so that it'll flow out of our spirit that God, that even God can see Himself,
right.
Much less the world.
Right.
All right, let's sing. There's a river of life. Just one time. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open prison doors, let the captive free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out from me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well. And give to me that life abundantly. Sing one more time. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out from me. It may the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captive free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. Just let it go. Let it go. That's all you gotta do. Just let it go. Kick the logs out of the way. Or let God build you a big enough boat. Pitch it on the inside. Pitch it on the outside. And if them logs stay there, just say, God, forward I go. And you'll knock them logs out of the way. You love the Lord? Theme song now. From now on, let that river of life.
Yes. Amen.
Listen, if you don't have the new birth, you don't know anything about what we're talking about. When you're laying in bed at night, it seems like the world, the storms, life is just about to take over you. There's something down in here. There's something down in here. And they asked Brother Branham, they said, did your religion hold you? He said, did you hold on to your religion? He said, no, it held on to me. Amen. It held on to me. Why? He had that river of life. And thank God for a prophet to come, and he, instead of holding it all inside, he let it out. He gave it to me and you. Now, there's millions of bride around the world because of that one man's message. That we've come to a place now, though, that we've got, this thing's got to go up just a notch. This whole, everything's got to go up a notch. We're okay. We're okay. But our mandate is that this guy has got to have the pitch in it. This guy's got to be pitched on the outside. We know he's pitched on the inside. But we got to have it pitched on the outside. And the only way to do that is what Brother Brown said. He said, take that tree and just beat it. Keep beating it. Brother Brown, you know, he talks about the gold. He said, beat it, beat it. Until you can see your own reflection. And then what happens is just like Michelangelo. He gets finished with the sculptor, and he looks down, and it's exactly what he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. God is looking down today, and this is what he saw before the foundation of the world. He didn't just know my name. He knew what I'd be. Sure, he knew my name, but he knew what I would be connected to that name. He knew. And he's got his people. Listen, he's got his players in the right place. Remember, the bride tried to get out of step. He said, get back in step. It took a prophet to do that, to tell us to get back in step. What? So that we can what? Be lined up. Get rid of those logs. Get rid of anything in your life. If you got something in your life, you know what? Just say, God, build the boat. Take this old boat and pitch it on the inside and pitch it on the outside. Just don't pitch me out. Amen? He won't. If you're a child of his, he won't pitch you out. No, he will equip you with everything you need for us to get out of here. Let's sing one more song. What you got?
Standing on the promises this evening.
Standing on the promises. If you have a need.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the
excuse me.
Not fail.
When the howling storms come down and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall. You believe that? I'm standing on the promises of God. If you believe that, take it home with you. You're dismissed. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect lens.